Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. He's speaking to us from Virginia. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, this market seems to be playing a very familiar pattern, down 3 days, up for a couple of days. Does that make it super hard to play if you're trying to make money?
It sure does. I mean, in many ways, this may be one of the most challenging market years I've ever seen. And I've been doing this since the late 90s and, you know, saw the bear market after the 2000 internet bubble, peaked out. And then, of course, the crash of 2008, and then 2020, we had a crash and then an incredibly quick rebound. But this is different than those in one way, and that is that it's just dragging out forever. Very like a slow motion bear market is the way I put it. And I was thinking we could have a bear market when the year began because the internals of the market peaked out, meaning that most stocks started to go down last year in the spring before the stock market average did, and that's a warning sign. The bond market was falling, which everyone was ignoring then, but all that stuff mattered, and around New Year's we peaked out. But I was expecting at some point, a panic washout that would at least bring a bear market rally that could last a couple months, because in 2000, in that bear market, that happened in the spring of 2001. After 9/11, there was a big rebound. In 2007, the market topped out, and there was a rebound from February 2008 to the spring. But all those rebounds happened with panic. The VIX going above 40, which is called the so-called fear index. It measures the premium that options people pay for puts and calls, the volatility premium. And even in bull markets, you'll see typically a panic washout. We've seen flash crashes and even just simple 10% declines that was result one. In 2018, we fell 20% and there was a panic washout. 2016, same thing. But so far this year, that hasn't been the case. Instead, it's just like a slow drop. And I think one of the reasons this is happening is a few weeks ago, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that was saying that although more money overall is going out of the stock market than going into it, from institutions selling, insiders selling, large investors, that in aggregate, small individual investors have been net buyers throughout the entire decline. In fact, there was a day last month that had the biggest single amount of money flowing into stocks from small investors since 2020. And this, I think, is the reason why it has been a slow motion decline, because so many people are trying to buy ahead of the start of the next bull market. And several times when the market, you know, has had up days, and in July it did rally for about a month, people get hopeful. They'll talk about the Federal Reserve pivoting But all that's been fantasy. In the bond market, never confirmed during all those times. And today, even the 10-year treasury bond yield is a 52-week high. And TLT, the ETF for 20-year treasury bonds, is at a 52-week low. And that's, in the end, what's been driving the market down, is rising yields in the bond market. And the Fed fund futures don't see an end to that till sometime in the spring or summer of next year. So with that in mind, I just don't have any reason to believe that the stock market is going to have an end in the bear market before this year. So I just think, you know, if you want to short-term trade it, that's one thing, but it's a tough game. And in the end, I think the smart thing to do is look for, or keep your eyes on, the sectors and asset classes that, when the next bull market does happen, are going to go up the most. And some of these things will go up before the stock market bottoms. And I think the number one thing for people to be watching in that regard is the price of gold. Now, I know gold has been pulling back really since March, but if you look at the performance of gold relative to the S&P 500, and I'm looking at this now of a chart, taking GLD, dividing it by SPY, creating a ratio, it enables me to create a relative strength plot, see how gold's performing relative to the S&P 500. And it's outperforming. Even though gold has days of weakness, it's outperforming the stock market. And that's significant, because the things that outperform tend to lead the next bull market, and often will start to go up before the stock market, bear market ends. So I think that's probably the best thing for people to keep their eye on. And if you want to buy something or average down, that's the place to do it.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, what's your view on crude and natural gas right now?
Well, the crude oil situation is really interesting. You know, I've been bullish, or was bullish, on oil since spring of 2020. It was one of the biggest positions I had, was in energy stocks. And we had a, you know, tremendous run, even higher, when the war in Ukraine started. But since then, energy prices, you know, down slightly. Oil is at around $85 a barrel now. It had gone up to $125. And if you read the news, there's lots of negative news about oil, you know, especially in Russia. And natural gas is the same way, same story. The prices for both being higher in Europe than it is in the United States. But I think all the bad news is of that sense of the war is priced in already. Traders tend to price things in ahead of time. So I don't think that's a reason to buy. And when I look at it, I just see them in a correction that's likely to, you know, continue, or a sideways consolidation from the move of the past 2 years. So I'm not, like, put it this way, I'm not excited about it for the short term, but I do still think energy is a good investment for the years to come. That said, you know, some energy stocks are at 52-week highs. Exxon, for example, made a new 52-week high today. So if there is anywhere right now in the financial markets that's where the most strength is at, it is in the energy complex. So I did, you know, I think it's another symptom of, you know, commodities are still attractive. And even though they're all correcting in one way or the other, they're still set up. They're outperforming the stock market, and, you know, they should still continue to do well in the years to come.
Is the U.S. dollar going to continue its charge higher?
Well, I think it probably will for the next several months. The U.S. dollar, you know, it's benefiting from multiple factors. The war with Ukraine, you know, making it look like the dollar is more attractive than the euro. Now we have turmoil with the pound. The Japanese yen is in an amazing bear market decline. So if you compare the dollar to most other currencies around the world right now, it does look better, and it's performing better. And, you know, the Fed is raising rates while some of these central banks are not. Even, you know, the Bank of England isn't doing it, but a little bit. And we're doing it more than Europe. Japan's not raising rates. So in that regard, that's helping drive the dollar up. I don't think any of these factors, well, I shouldn't say any, but most of these factors are not going to still be around, say, six, eight months from now. I mean, the yen may still be going down because that situation is pretty dire, but the war in Ukraine could be over by then, and the Fed probably by then will have, you know, reached the end of this interest rate hiking cycle, and I think that will change what's happening. And when the Fed does get to the end of this interest rate cycle, we're going to be in a whole new environment. It's not going to be this pivot thing that people keep predicting, which they're suggesting that, well, the Fed will just lower rates, and then everything can go back the way it used to be. Meaning, well, we'll just have a great stock market rally, and the economy can be okay, and by then inflation will go away, and it'll be like 2020 or 2018 or something. But that's not going to happen. This inflation thing, you know, they're not going to get rates high enough to get inflation CPI down to 2%. Instead, you know, I think the economy may remain very sluggish, and at some point the Fed may do something. Instead of raising rates, they may do a bigger QE program or do, you know, yield control or something like that, which would help drive people into gold and silver, and could be even more inflationary. So we're in a, you know, we're in a bear market this year. There's no sign it's ended. It's probably not going to end till next year at some point. Gold's performing better. It'll eventually break away. But when the bear market does end, we're going to be in a different environment people haven't seen, just as we are now. I mean, no one has seen, that I know, a bear market in the United States that's playing out the way it is now. So slow, trending down. You know, every one or two up days, nothing happens. It's trading like gold stocks would when they've been in, you know, really terrible bear markets, like after 2012 to 2016. That's how things are trading. Most people in the United States never really seen anything like it. They weren't in gold back then or other markets that may trade like this. So it's, you know, people haven't really, I don't think, any idea what's happening.
Mike, I know you like to keep an eye on what the Robinhooders are doing. How's their reaction to what's going on in the markets compared to everybody else?
Well, something interesting is happening there. I can load up the Robinhood. I have a little tiny Robinhood account just so I can do this. You can load it up and you can see the stocks that they own in ETF all ranked by the number of people own it. And when I look at it now, it doesn't change that much. And the Wall Street Journal had a story just the other day saying that the number of trades being done every single day by small traders, at Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, Morgan Stanley, is substantially down. So in fact, Ameritrade, the fewest number of trades were done in the third quarter than in 2020. In Morgan Stanley, it said there's an average 805,000 trades done in the last quarter, the lowest level since 2022. In the last two Robinhood earnings reports, they reported a sharp decline in the number of active traders. So I think what's been happening with the so-called Robinhood people, or, you know, all these retail traders, active day traders, meme traders, whatever, crypto traders, this whole group that got in 2020 for the most part for the first time, they're just wiping themselves out, and there's fewer of them, and so their trading activity is in collapse, which this is one of the interesting aspects of that, is that I was expecting that to happen, and I think I remember talking with you about how in the first quarter, the number of Robinhood users really had a sharp decline, like 15 or 20% or so, and I was saying, oh, these people are blowing themselves up, and in my mind, I was like, well, this is how the bear market ends. You just, you know, all these people just wipe out. But what I didn't anticipate is what I was telling you earlier, today. And that is how despite the blow up of these day traders, short-term traders, there's still more money from small people going into the market than, there has been for quite some time. So what has been happening is that, yes, the day trader, the small Robin Hood type, which really typifies them, you just think about, imagine the Robin Hood person, they are blowing themselves out of the market and really becoming a non-factor. But what's happened, and I've never seen this before, is that even though we're in a bear market, the average American who's not a day trader, who just has a brokerage account or a retirement account, and, you know, they're not trying to buy meme stocks, they're not, in their mind, trying to do anything risky, they are averaging down. That's what's going on. You know, they're putting more money into their account, and just buying, thinking, well, that's just what you do. And the market will bottom out, and it'll be like it's been before. We'll make new highs, and this is how you get rich. So that's the kind of activity that's still continuing, and, you know, I didn't expect that would happen, but it is.
Mike, anything else we should keep an eye on right now?
Well, right now we are having this earnings season, and, you know, Tesla kind of went down on earnings, and Netflix went up on earnings the day before. And I think short term, I guess between now and when we talk next, I kind of would expect the stock market to chop around, not really fall dramatically, but, you know, go up on earnings, go down on earnings, and just kind of chop around for a while, a couple weeks, as we go into the next Fed meeting in November, and then probably will then take a bigger, you know, I got move on it after that.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you, and your audience is great to be able to reach them. They're great, too.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.